Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to talk about how you can fulfill God's will. I've been on this series for, well over a month. And we talked first about how to find God's will, then how to follow God's will, and now we've been talking about how to fulfill God's will. Each one of those three areas has five teachings in those albums, and we're now on the third and final album, and we're now on the third teaching in that third album. So we've already talked about in this third album on how you have to obey God to fulfill His will, and we talked about how important patience is. And those things are just indispensable. I tell you, the things that we're talking about in this third album on how to fulfill God's will are things that are that have come out of 40-plus years of me seeking the Lord. And I've gone through and just tried to think about, you know, what are the most important things that God has done in my life that has enabled me to keep on track for 42 years. And, you know, let me tell you this little story that I was in Louisville, Kentucky. This has been many years ago now, but I was teaching on the love of God and about how God's love for us is unconditional. And it's not the way that most religion presents it, that God only loves us and blesses us when we are worth it, because the truth is we're never worth it. And it's just by the grace of God. And I was talking about how God loves us unconditionally, how nothing would ever change His love for us. And I started on Wednesday night, and on Sunday morning, I had a woman come up to me at the church I was at, and she was crying and saying, telling me how much this had changed her life and how blessed she had been. She'd never understood the love of God like this. And it was a great testimony. But then she said, and I know it won't last. She says it never does. Maybe in a couple of weeks or a month or something, I'll be back to the way I was. But right now, I just understand God's love for me more than I've ever understood it. And when she said that, boy, that just grieved me. It broke my heart to think that a person who is really experiencing the love of God just took for granted that in a week or two, she was going to lose all of that. And that really bothered me. And that was after a Sunday morning service. I went back to my motel room. And even though it bothered me, you know, I got to admitting that this really is the way it is with most people. I've traveled now for decades, and I go and I see people's lives changed. And I mean, they're touched, and they say they'll never be the same. Then I go back the next year to the same church, and some of the people who were so on fire for God have lost their enthusiasm and zeal. Many of them don't even go to the church anymore. I ask about them, and they say, oh, they quit coming. Oh, they went out and committed adultery. They did whatever. And from my example, I can say that most people really do not, they are not able to maintain their faith and their enthusiasm and their commitment to the Lord over a prolonged period of time. So I see that and I acknowledge that it's true, but it just really bothered me to think that a woman had embraced that as if this was inevitable and it's just the way that it had to be. And man, that bothered me. And so I spent all afternoon, we had a night service that night, but I spent all afternoon praying and saying, God, this does not have to be. And, you know, praise God, by the grace of God, I'm not taking a great credit for this. I'm just saying because of God's goodness to me, I have not walked away from what God did in my life 42 years ago. I'm more excited about God now than I was then. I haven't lost it. I haven't gone through peaks and valleys and mountaintops and valleys and things like this, but it's as Jesus said, He says, the valleys will be exalted and the mountains and hills made low. If you bring the mountains down and the valleys up, then you know what? It should be smooth sailing. There should be a consistency in the Christian life. And by the grace of God, I can truthfully tell you that I haven't lost my zeal for the Lord. It's actually increased. It's gotten stronger. And I was seeing the contrast in my experience between what this woman was saying and what I've seen in so many other people. And I was praying and I said, Lord, there has to be a reason. It hadn't been conscious on my part, but there has to be reasons why that what You've done in my life hasn't decreased, diminished, you know, lost its potency over the decades, but instead it's got stronger. And I said, I would really like to find a place in Scripture where I could teach people on how they could maintain this consistency. And the Lord led me to Romans chapter 1. And I want to share some of these things with you when we're talking about how to fulfill God's will. If you don't understand these truths that we're talking about, you will not be able to finish and accomplish God's will. You might even start in that direction. You might see some good things happen. But again, I think it's Ecclesiastes 7:8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Anybody can start serving God. Start in the direction that God has for your life. But I tell you, there's very few that are able to finish. Not because God willed it that way, but because we have an enemy and life gets in the way and things. And if you don't make deliberate plans to succeed, you will fall out by the way. You will be discouraged and quit. And these are some of the things that the Lord taught me that have just revolutionized my life. And so let me break right into the middle of what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He talked about he wasn't ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, there's so much in that. I've got hours and hours of teaching on Romans 1, 16. But it was a radical statement for Paul's day. And the people of Paul's day were into telling people about the wrath of God. And it was fear of punishment that drove people through that religious system towards God. Here's Paul talking about, I'm not ashamed of telling people about the goodness of God, the nearly too good to be true news that God isn't mad at them, that He's not holding their sins against them. And the moment you say something like that, religious people who are used to using condemnation and guilt as the motivator, they immediately get offended and said, no, you can't do that. You've got to tell people about how angry God is. And it's got to be through fear that you drive them to God. So Paul begins to defend himself in Romans 1, 18 through 20. And I'm not going to take time to read all of this, but basically he's saying you don't have to tell people about the wrath of God. They know it. There is an intuitive knowledge on the inside of every single person. God placed it there. Let me just take a little parenthetical phrase here, or a rabbit trail, a side trip, and say something here, because there's a lot of people that they would say, no, that's not true. There are people who are atheists today. There are people who are agnostic. There are people who are living ungodly lives and bragging about it and having parades talking about their lifestyle as if there is no conviction in their life whatsoever. And so some people would observe those things and say, no, there are some people that they don't understand about the wrath of God. They don't know about it. That's in violation of what Paul said in Romans 1, 18 through 20. He's saying that God has revealed Himself from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It says all unrighteousness. Regardless of what a person says, God has shown them what's wrong. If a person says that there is no God, they may convince you of it. They may have even convinced themselves. But the truth is, in their heart, they know there's a God. There's probably people watching this program saying, well, that's not true. I don't believe that there's a God. If I was to put a gun to your head and say you're going to die, you'd call out to that God you say you don't believe in. You can get to where you deny what's in your heart. You can get to where you live in your own mind games and you say a lie so often that after a while you even go to believing it. But I can guarantee you, at a heart level, on the inside of every person watching this program, it doesn't matter where you are. You know, I mentioned this week that we had people from Dubai, people from Singapore, people from Uganda, England, Europe. Every place in the world watches this program. It doesn't matter what culture you are. It doesn't matter about anything. You, in your heart, know that there is only one God and that you are not Him. You know that you have come short of the glory of God. And you could sit there and try and tell me or somebody else differently, but according to the Word of God, God has revealed Himself from heaven against all ungodliness. It says in verse 19, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath revealed it unto them. God put an intuitive knowledge on the inside of every one of you. There's a little homing device. On the inside of every person, it doesn't matter what culture you're in, there is something on the inside of you that is drawing you to God. But according to 1 Kings chapter 19, it's a still small voice. And you can drown it out. This is why people love to always be doing something. They talk about being bored. They can't stand to have nothing to do. They got to have something on the television, the radio on. They got to have something going. They got to have something to do or they get bored. You know what it really amounts to is when you get still, Psalms chapter 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." When you get still and quiet yourself and there isn't something blaring in your ears or occupying your attention with your eyes, when you get still like that, you know what? This little homing device, this little still small voice starts speaking to you and starts telling you that your life is going in the wrong direction. You need to change. And people don't like that. And so they call it being bored and they go out and they just occupy themselves with anything and everything else. But the truth is, every one of you know that there is a God. Every one of you know that things are right and wrong. It doesn't matter if they have parades that brag about things that God says are an abomination. It doesn't matter what the public does and what the political correctness is. In your heart, you know what's right and wrong. That's true. When I was in Vietnam, I had people come and say that they were atheists and they didn't believe in God. And they would argue with me and I tried to tell them things and they'd say, "No, you're wrong." And yet, when the bombs got to dropping, when the bullets were flying, these same people who said they were atheists, I could hear them crying out to God and yelling at the top of their lungs for God to spare their life. It's a lie. It's a mind game. And you know what? Some of you think, "Well, you don't have the right to tell me that." I have the right because it's in the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God more than I believe you. And if you would be honest, when you get still and quiet and turn off all of the things that you use to drown out that still small voice, on the inside there is that still small voice that is speaking to you and drawing you to God. That's the reason some of you are watching this program. You're wondering, "What in the world am I watching a guy sitting in a chair talking about God? He's not even got a suit on. He's not shouting and screaming." Some of you are wondering, what brought you to this? It's because in your heart you know that there's something more. God has directed you this way. That's what these verses are saying. And it goes on to say in the 20th verse, it says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God has clearly revealed some things to you. Now, you may have sat there and listened to somebody else, and you may have confused yourself by all of the different voices that you've been hearing, but if you would get still and listen, there are some things that are clearly revealed to every person on the face of the earth so that they are without excuse. Nobody is ever going to stand before God and say, "Well, it wasn't fair. I didn't know." You may not have had a missionary come and speak to you and tell you something, but in your heart, you knew enough to cause you to accept the Lord, to return to the Lord and turn away from all of your sin. There isn't going to be any excuse. There is an intuitive knowledge that has made every person who has ever lived on this earth accountable for the way that they've lived to God. Boy, these are powerful, powerful statements. And here's the point I was wanting to get to. That's the background. That's the setting. And now in verse 21, it says that because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it goes on to talk about how that they got into idolatry. And eventually it talks about in the rest of this first chapter of the book of Romans, how that a person can take this intuitive knowledge of God that is on the inside of every person, but you can deaden yourself to it. It can be like a callus. Just time after time, you reject what God tells you. You reject His leading and you go against it and follow the crowd or do whatever. And every time you do that, you just put one more layer of insensitivity between you and God. And eventually, Romans 1 describes a person who goes so far that God just gives them over to a reprobate mind. What that means is Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, that no man can come unto the Father except the Holy Spirit draws him. The only way that a person can come to God is because of the Holy Spirit's dealing with them, drawing them to God. And if a person just time after time after time after time rejects the leading of God, and I don't think it's like four or five times, it's hundreds, it's thousands and thousands of times, you can eventually go so far and harden yourself against this intuitive knowledge of God that you can get so far out there, God will say, all right, I'll let you go. And His Holy Spirit doesn't draw you. He doesn't talk to you. And again, Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. If the Holy Spirit quits dealing with you and drawing you, then you are reprobate. You are damned. You will never come to God on your own. This is the reason that it's so important that if God is speaking to you today, that you respond to Him now. You know, I just know in my heart, I believe that the Holy Spirit is bearing witness and showing me that there are people watching this program right now around the world that I have said some things that have opened up your eyes. And God is dealing with you right now. You may have professed one thing. You may have claimed that you have no conviction from God, that there is nothing wrong with the way that you've been living, the beliefs that you've had. But in your heart, you know that there is. That's the dealing of the Holy Spirit. That's this little homing device. That's this intuitive revelation of God. God is speaking to you today. And you know what? You don't have any guarantee that He's going to speak to you again tomorrow. Your tendency is to just blow this off and walk away from it and say, I can't go with that. That's contrary to everything I've ever believed and everything I've ever done. And yet in your heart, you can feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You know what? You don't need to reject it. Sure, the Lord is long-suffering, but He's not forever suffering. There comes a time that God will say, you know what? He just doesn't want to hear, so I'll leave Him alone. And Romans chapter 1 describes that. And it talks about people going into such places that they take the truth of God and turn it into a lie. And it describes homosexuality in Romans chapter 1 as being the final step or one of the very last things before a person is just totally given over to this reprobate mind where God will not convict you. You chose to reject Him and He will leave you. And from that time on, there is nothing to draw you unto God. And I just know in my heart that there's some people dangerously close to doing that. God is speaking to you today through this program. And it's not coincidence that you're watching this program. The Lord is speaking to you. You know, as Paul said, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Romans 12:1. I really feel that that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is pleading with you to change and to come back. God has put this knowledge on the inside of you, but you can deaden yourself to it. That's what Romans 1 is describing. And in Romans 1:21, it gives four steps. And I believe that there are four progressive steps that a person has to take away from God to deaden themselves to this intuitive knowledge. And you know, like I've been teaching today, this is talking about just the intuitive knowledge of God's existence and of His wrath against our sin that's on the inside of every person. But this same thing is true. It wouldn't matter if you had a revelation of God's love. Like this woman that I was talking about at the beginning of our program, who God showed her how much He loved her unconditionally, and she loved it. But then she says, but I know it won't last. It'll be gone in a week or two. Well, that's not the way that God intended it to be. When God touches you with His love, if you feel the joy of the Lord, or if you have the vision of God, or anything that is from God in your life, there is no expiration date on the thing that God gives. If it diminishes over time in your life, if you can't maintain the same intensity and the same benefit of what God has done in your life, it's not because God willed it. It's because you've done one of these four things, or probably all four of them. You didn't glorify God. I'm going to have to spend some time explaining that. I hadn't got time to really get into it on today's program, but we will continue that next week. But you quit glorifying God. You weren't thankful for what God has done in your life. Your imagination then becomes vain. That doesn't mean that it quits working. It just starts working against you instead of for you. And then the final step is that your heart becomes darkened or hardened towards the things of God, insensitive towards God. These are four things that before what God has done in your life loses its potency, you have to do these four things. It can't happen otherwise. And so we're going to turn this around and use it in a positive way. If these four things have to happen, if he's describing four steps that every person goes through to walk away from the things of God, well, then what we're going to do is turn them around and make them a positive thing and say, do these four things and you will never lose the blessing, the fulfillment of what God has done in your life. And again, let me just put this into context by saying that in my life, I had this encounter with the Lord March the 23rd, 1968. I was born again in 1960. But in 1968, I had this miraculous, life-altering encounter with the Lord. And instead of that diminishing over time, it has increased over time. God forever changed my life. And I've been through a lot of different things. I've been through hardship and problems just like anybody else. And yet, what God did in my life in 1968 has gotten stronger with time. I'm more committed to the Lord now than I was in 1968. It didn't diminish. It's increased. And it's because I didn't really know this verse. It wasn't something that I was doing intentionally based on the revelation that I'm going to be teaching you from from Romans chapter 1, verse 21. But by just the leading of the Holy Spirit in my personal relationship with God, I can look back and say that these truly are things that God led me to do. And because I've done this, the things of God haven't diminished in my life. I haven't lost them. They've gotten stronger. And so I want to recommend this to you. There are many of you that probably just think that you cannot maintain your intensity, your focus, your commitment, your zeal for the Lord. It's something that just comes and goes like waves come in and hit and then they recede and it just goes back and forth. And people will talk about this and even make doctrines about it. That when you first get born again, you're on this honeymoon period, but then you go through the valley and they've made doctrines that it's, you know, you have these mountaintop experiences, but it's in the valley where the fruit grows. And basically they tell you that you should expect this. It's the way the Christian life was intended by God to be. I'm telling you that that's not so. I'm saying that God wants you to stay full of Him at all times. And if you are going to fulfill God's will for your life, you're going to have to learn how to maintain this stability in your Christian life, how to keep the things of God fresh. It's not God who diminishes them. It's not God who takes the potency and the blessing of what He's done in your life away and that you go through these dry spells. No, it's things we do that cause this. And if you can accept that responsibility, find out what it is that you did to cause this, well then praise God, you can reverse it and you can walk in a stability with the Lord that is essential to fulfilling His will. I'm out of time today, but we do have materials on this. I encourage you to listen to our announcer and call or write and get these materials and then join me again next Monday as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD, as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled, What About Your Values? Free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, October 3rd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give a special invitation to any of you who are in full-time ministry or for you to invite your pastor or leader of your church that's in full-time ministry to come to our 2010 Ministers Conference. It's October the 4th through the 8th right here in Colorado Springs. And we have Bob Yandian and also Bob Nichols who always minister with me at this conference. And I tell you, it is a life-changing time. It's my favorite time of the year. We really recognize the value of ministers, how many people you touch. And ministers need to be ministered to themselves, and it's sometimes hard to find. Most ministers' conferences are more informational than inspirational, but I tell you, ours will fire you up. So make plans to join us right here in Colorado Springs on October the 4th through the 8th.
Caris Bible College graduates are changing lives. Russ and David Ferguson and David's wife Judith moved to India upon graduating from CBC and immediately began spreading the gospel truth, establishing Caris Bible College India and helping with individual and small business loans as well. CBC India has just celebrated its first graduating class and is sending ministers throughout India's villages, towns, and cities, changing the world one life at a time. For more information on this and other stories, visit awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. Invest yourself in Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.